Good morning, church. It is wonderful to see all of you, and I really do. When I look, I try to see every single person. And really what I see right now is a sea of red, actually, so you know what I'm talking about. It's good to be here with you and to be in your presence, and this is something we should never, ever, ever take for granted. This moment is so special that we get to be the church, we get to be together, we get to worship the Lord our God, Jesus Christ, together and in spirit and truth. If you don't know who I am, my name's Ryan. You may be thinking, what in the world is this guy doing up there? And I've been working here for a couple of months now with this wonderful, beautiful church and just church family and staff. And I am glad to be here before you right now. As we go through the word today, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 2. So if you would, turn there. We're going to start in verse 22. And I'll get there in just a minute, but I want to ask you a question. And I think this question is so important for all of us. And I really think in the end, we will all say that in some form or fashion, we have been through this. But here's my question. Have you ever been in a moment or a season of life where you were just done? I mean, the tension and the pain and the struggle of life or decisions made, whatever it may be, you were just kind of at your wit's end and you couldn't take any more. You don't have to be a Christian to have been in this situation and to cry out, Lord, why? But you are just shattered. And hope may be gone. You cannot see the road that you're trying to travel. Some of you, it may be that you've come to a point in your life where you are thinking, I'm just worthless. I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing left in the tank. I'm struggling here and I need something to pick me up. I think that all of us in this room could say that at some point in life we have touched that ground. We've been there, and it's been hard. It could revolve around a job. It could revolve around family. It could be children. It could be a marriage. It could be school. It could be so many things, but we've been there. And then we know what it's like to be broken. To be broken, to be shattered. We're humans. It happens to all of us at some point. There's this art. It goes back about 400 years, Japan, which, considering Japan's history, that's not that long ago. And it's called kintsugi. I just discovered it not too long ago. And it's the idea is that you take pottery that's been shattered, that's been broken, and you piece it back together. Now, generally, when we piece something back together, if we're going to piece something back together, we want to hide the blemish. But what they did was they came up with this idea where they would take the lacquer or the adhesive and they would put gold in it or silver. And they would use that to mend the pottery back together. And the finished product is this. And it is so beautiful. And instead of taking those cracks and trying to hide them, they bring it out for all to see, to display it with pride. It's a beautiful thing, and I really think as we're looking in the book of Acts, chapter 2 especially, as the Holy Spirit is moving throughout the world, God is taking broken people and not just mending them back together, but transforming them into something beautiful. And putting on display with all the problems and challenges that life can throw at us for all to see. Amen. I mean, in my weakness, right? That's when I'm strong. Why? Not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ and the work that he has done in my life. The message I am offering you today is a message that I have preached to myself over and over and over again. And I do believe it's a message that we need to be reminded of. Or here for the first time. Some of you may not be believers, and that's okay. Welcome. Thank you for being here. The parts that are difficult and challenging, which they'll come in a few minutes, I will offer with grace and mercy and love, knowing that God's shoulders are big and he can handle the problems of our lives. I mean, Jesus died for us when we were still sinners. What that tells me is that Jesus died for me, Ryan, knowing my worst possible sin. And he said, it's fine, I got it. And that goes the same for you. Let's take a look at the text. What I want you to see, my hope for you today, is that you will see why Peter says what he says to his audience. I want to see that. I want us to see that. I also want you to notice that God is going to be mentioned a lot here. And so we want to get to the heart of what God's role is in all of this. And then what I want you to see as you have received Jesus and the Holy Spirit is at work in your life and transforming you, and you'll hear in a minute, as we speak, he is at work. But he is also doing that through his word. And that his word is an essential part of the Christian faith, who we are in Jesus Christ. So let's read, and we're going to read for a little bit here. Chapter 2, verse 22, it starts off like this. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Verse 29. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what do we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Man, to see God moving in that way. Life-changing, life-altering ways. But the truth is, he is. Right now, right here, in this room, in your lives. Regardless of where you are or where you have been. Part of that example, you're here right now. You trust that? He's brought you here. He loves you so much. And he's caring for you and meeting your needs, whether you see it or not. And he's drawing you ever more closely to you day by day, day by day. So I want to start right here in verse 25. Go back there with me for a minute. And what I want to do is I want you to see that what's happening here, what Peter is doing is he is trying to help the listener. He's trying to help them to understand that the person you just crucified is the Messiah that you have been longing for so long. Now, he's not doing that so that they would feel guilty, but so that they would receive. That's so important to him. And we're going to see in a few minutes that they get it, that they see it. But I also want something, I want you to see something here for yourself. I want you to see that we serve a God who is actively transforming the minds of his people. Actively at work. Even right now, as we sit here today, he is actively at work in your mind, transforming your mind. Look here, it says in verse 25, for David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. We could glance over that and not think a thing of it. But do you see what David has done here? I mean, this is a guy who has been called a man after God's own heart. And yet we know some of the failures, if you will, of David and the life that he lived. And yet still a man after God's own heart because he was a repentant man. Now look at what he's doing with his life. This is how he lives. I saw the Lord always before me. In fact, what he's doing right here is it's almost like horse blinders are being put on him. And he is not going to look left or right. I fix my eyes on the Lord. I fix my eyes on the Lord. And he lives his life that way. One of the challenges for us today in America, and I don't think it's an American problem. I really think this is a historical problem for just human beings. But we want our Jesus, and if it's like a shopping cart and you're at the market, I want Jesus, and I know that Jesus has to be super important. So I take my Jesus, and I got a big lump of Jesus right here, and I'm going to buy that. But we go further with it. And I think we do this oftentimes without even realizing what we're doing, or we see innocence in it. But we're also like, I got to make sure I get my rabbit's foot, and I got to make sure I have that. And I also have to make sure I kind of get my mysticism. I need to make sure I've got my psychic, you know, just to make sure my future's covered, right? And I've got to get a little bit of my namaste over here. Now, some of you may be thinking, did he just tell me I'm not supposed to do yoga? And that is not what I'm saying. It is good to stretch. And that's one way of doing it. But there is something that's deeper there, and something that we have to be careful of. And like the history, as you look at Israel, they will reach beyond themselves, even as people trying to be faithful, and they will bring other things into their faith that will begin to corrupt them. And David says right here, I saw the Lord always before me. The example is, I fix my eyes on the Lord, and I don't look left or right. And any time that David looked left or right, something tragic happened in his life. And I'm not saying for you that if you look left or right, something tragic is going to happen, but that's the example given to us in Scripture. And we have to be careful, trusting that the Lord is before us. And now, when David put the Lord before him, here's what happens. Follow the text. For he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. And therefore, as a result, as of the Lord being my center, therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and my flesh also dwells in hope. He fixes on Jesus, and his heart is glad. He trusts God's word. Right? We see that in the next verse. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. How do you know that? Because I know God's word and I trust that what he says is true. And not only do I trust that what he says is true, I commit it to myself. I make his word mine. I live it. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. And you have made known to me the paths of life. And right now, there's many of us in this room that we need to see the path, Lord. I need the path. I can't see anything. It's like a jungle out there. And the walls are caving in on me. Oh, I've been there, guys. I know it. I've been doing this for pursuing after the Lord, pursuing after him for about 20, 22 years of my life. And there are days where I wake up and I think I just don't have it. And Lord, I'm so lost and I need you. I'm broken. Don't let me go. Oh, that prayer has been uttered out of my mouth so many times. So we serve a God, though, who is actively transforming the mind of his people. Trust it. It's in the Word. He is at work in you, and you, Christian, right now. Right now. And he doesn't stop there. We also serve a God who can be counted on to keep his promises. Look at verse 33. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. You hear that? He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to all those that are in the audience and listening. He's trying to share with them, do you see that what we're doing right now, it's like what was said last week. This isn't just utterances from drunkenness, okay? This isn't another language, and we're speaking, right, with some articulation here, so we're not drunk. There's something unique and special going on here. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, and it's not something that's just new or just kind of happened upon us. But he go back to what Keith talked about last week, and we see in a picture with Joel in verse 17, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So he's reaching back and showing them that what God promised a long time ago, he's fulfilling right now, right here. Okay, that's great. So what? Why do I need to worry, or why does it matter if I count on a God who's keeping his promise? And I don't think we have to, it's a stretch for us to think, how many of you have friends or acquaintances or someone in your life where you're thinking, I can't trust them any farther than I can throw them? We need God to be trustworthy. If I'm going to trust this book right here, if I'm going to trust it, I have to trust that what God is saying in this text is true and accurate and right. I need to know that God will hold me up when I fall. I need to know he's going to be there for me, that this Jesus who was crucified for me was truly raised up out of the grave and ascended into heaven. I need to know that. I need to know it's true. My hope is in that. My life is dedicated to it. You and I, we need to know it. We need to know we can count on the Lord. And so we serve a God that not only transforms the mind, but he does it by his word, and he does it by keeping his word. We can trust him. And you and I, we need a whole lot of that, because many of us, we are hanging on by a thread. We are struggling through this life. Some of it is because of your own doing, your own undoing. God's shoulders are big enough. He can handle it. He's got you. He'll carry you through. You just give yourself over to him. Some of us, we're just wandering. We're like a leaf in the wind. Oh, I've been there. But what if it's not true? What if it's not right? No, Lord, you are my God. Don't allow Satan to have that. I will fix myself, my eyes on you, and I will walk steadfast in your way. Don't let Satan have me. But it doesn't stop there, guys. It keeps going. Verse 37 and 38, we serve a God who actively transforms the heart. And we all know about those, you know, 12, 13 inches and how hard it is to get from information to my heart has been given over to it. But in 37, it says, now when they heard this, these the audience, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. What shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And the hard part about this is brokenness cut to the heart. Katanuso, it is like a sharp pain. They had to get to that point. They had to recognize their need for something more than themselves. And I realize that in itself is hard as well. We are built to be independent, at least we think we are, to survive on our own. But Peter is showing his onlookers that they have to see the truth. It has to cut them. And then they respond. And so if you are hurting today in this room and you are struggling and life and the challenges, they're real. God has you where he wants you. Now give yourself over to him. Let him take care of you. And just like this concept of kintsugi, he will begin to not just put you back together, but he will transform you. In Christ, we're a new creation. He will begin to transform your life. But you have to trust him, and you have to fix your eyes on him. Give yourself over to him. We serve a God who actively transforms the heart. Now, here's what he says. Repent and be baptized. And sometimes we confuse guilt with repentance. Even as a Christian who's been at this for some time, there are days where I've done something wrong and I know I've done it before the Lord and I'm saying I'm sorry because I feel guilty about it. I'm sad that I got caught. You ever felt that way? I feel bad that I just got caught. Repentance is recognizing what you have done and turning from it. No more. One of the interesting things about David in his life is even when he had these real major sin issues in his life, once it was pointed out in his life, he turned, he repented, he never did it again. And so some of us really need to think about that in our own lives as we are living out for the Lord. We are pursuing him and he is doing this rich work inside of us. That we need to look at our lives and say, Lord, am I really struggling with just feeling guilty right now and I'm not really handing things over to you? Because I really, Lord, I need you to continue to transform my mind. And I want to trust you at your word. And I need you to do some work on my heart. And maybe you have something on your shoulders you need to hand over and say, Lord, this is for you because I've been holding on way too long. I've been living in this for way too long and here it is. And maybe this is a part of the reason why my life is shattering around me. Maybe not. Doesn't have to be. And you know what? He doesn't stop there. Verse 41. As he's transforming you and the person, your heart, your mind, we also serve a God who generously adds to the community. So there, those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And let me tell you guys, I know the world that we live in right now is in tough shape. It's in rough shape. But you don't want to miss what God is doing. He is at work right now across this community, across this country, across the globe. He is at work doing some really neat things. People's lives are being changed forever and ever and ever. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. He is changing the community. He is changing the community right here in this room. Lives are being changed. I get the opportunity to see it every day that I'm here. I'm working here. Hear the stories. You don't always get to see it. I think next week you're going to get to hear some cool stories. How God is at work and God is moving. But he is at work and he is moving and he's transcending our problems and our struggles. And he's transforming the minds and hearts, and you get to be a part of it. But you have to choose to see it. You have to choose to want it. You have to choose to long for it. And I think today's that opportunity, if you haven't. For some of you, it's a reminder that God is at work. And he's doing some really cool and courageous things through his vessels, you and I. Tremendous things. And it doesn't stop there. In Acts chapter 2, we kind of look at that as history, like it happened a long time ago. But here's really what happened with that spirit. The apostles, as they faded away, took the baton and handed it off to the next generation. Acts chapter 2 is still being lived out. And that generation, as they began to fade, took that baton and handed it to the next generation. And the next generation. And the next generation after that. And here you are today, Christian, that baton has been handed off to you. The same spirit that did powerful things in the life of Peter is in you. You are living out the gospel today. It is being written today as you live out your life. Will you choose to see it? Will you choose to see that God is doing a tremendous work through you, with you, in your life? Oh, how precious your life is to Him. How valuable you are, if you could only see it. And as the lives were being transformed in Acts chapter 2, right before the apostles' eyes, lives are being changed all around us. Be a part of it. Now, what does that look like? I want to give you a picture of the community of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit when it's at its best. Verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You may be asking, so you want me to sell my possessions, huh? No, that's not what I'm saying. Maybe God moves you to do something like that. I'll say this, I don't say it very often, but look at the spirit of what's happening here. Look at how the Spirit is moving over a people, and the world is, they're watching, and they are loving each other, and they're united, and they're serving together, and the community is being transformed around them, and you could be a part of that if you would choose. But that ball is in your court. The Lord hasn't left you. His promise is that He walks alongside of you. But you have a decision to make. And so, Christians, brothers and sisters, I would ask you, as the devil does, he just wants you to look at the past. He wants you to see your brokenness. He wants you to see where you've fallen short. He wants you to see how your world has been turned upside down, because he does not want you to see what Jesus has in store for your future. And what Jesus is wanting to do in your life is to transform you into the person you were always meant to be. Before that fall, a long time ago, he wants to do tremendous and amazing things in your life. And he wants to reveal himself to you in extraordinary ways, but you have to make the decision to see it. So will you see it? Will you live every day knowing that God is at work? That everything you do, loving your family, kids, serving the person next to you, gospel's being written out right now. Lord, you're using me. I'm the vessel. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this moment. It's a treasure that we get to spend here together, worshiping you, glorifying you with our voices and our ears and our hearts and our minds, Lord, I trust that you are doing a transforming work amongst your people. Your word says it. People were moved. Lord, you did something in me years ago. And I know that my brothers and sisters in this room have a story kind of like that. Maybe some of us are in the weeds right now and we're struggling. We're having a hard time seeing. We're trying, Lord. You have not left their side. May we fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of faith. And when we need you to carry us, Lord, you will carry us. And when you need to walk alongside of us, you will walk alongside of us. We will trust that you are transforming the mind and the heart, and we will trust you at your word, and we will see the Spirit move amongst us as a congregation of people, and we will be active, and we will serve together, not because we have to serve, not because we're checking boxes, but because you have moved us. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. Will you stand with us as we worship?